Okay.
Pathways to joy.
We all want to do tshuva. The problem with doing tshuva is it seems to be totally possible.
The problem with doing tshuva is it seems to be totally impossible.
How are you supposed to do tshuva? We have so many things pulling us in a million directions. What can we already do?
There's room to do tshuva all the time.
Ashrecha.
I do it today, but then tomorrow I forget, and I do it again the next day, because I forgot the day before.
We want to do tshuva like the Rambam says to do tshuva. Complete tshuva.
Like complete
tshuva. Yeah,
we have to do it almost every second. Because if we didn't, the Yetzer Hara would eat us up and just spit us out. We'd be nothing but, you know, brown beef or something.
Or gas.
Absolutely.
So we're always doing it, whether consciously or not. It has to be a constant process or the world would disintegrate.
That's for sure. You're absolutely right. But you have people, very often we find ourselves in a place where I have something holding me back and I have no idea how I'm going to chew for this. How can I change? And this is a big source of depression. This is, well, I'm never going to change this. I'm just going to stay the same old, same old. Like, what's going to happen with me? And we don't want. So, the first thing we have to realize, what Rav Nosson says, is that there's an old discussion between us and Hashem. Hashem says, Shuvah Elai, Veshuvah Eleichem. Return to me, and I'll return to you. We say, Hashivena Avinu, right? Hashivena Shuvah, right? Bring me back, and we'll return. You bring us back. Right? Right, so exactly. So what's the exact? So Chas V'Shalom, that's not the pshat. So what does it mean? So Nasan says, they're both right. Hashem says, return to me by speaking to me. You need to speak. You do this bodhisattva, you talk to Hashem. You do tshuva, and then you're able to get where you need to go. So that will bring you where you need to be. So that's all you need to do is speak. Oh, yeah. Just your Shemayim. Right? Moshe says, all I want something little. Just your. Just pray. Just,
Yeah, but we know, we read about it in the Torah, that he had a dialogue with Hashem. But you know, after the Torah goes away, we don't really read about people anymore that had dialogues with Hashem. That era was kind of over at that point, after Tanakh, for sure.
Well, our tefillahs that we say, that's set up every day to say, is a very big dialogue with Hashem.
It's what?
A big dialogue with Hashem. It's a big discussion. We're asking him, we're talking to him. And he should be speaking back. That's why Rosh Hashanah said that people used to daven for the Muslim movement, before Exodus 2. The masses, the person would daven, was like a real davening. After that person just said the words without necessarily even thinking about what he's saying. But really, when you think about what we say, it's very clear that we are asking Hashem and talking to Hashem and talking to Hashem and talking to Hashem. And you can really ask, you say, what's the point of all these tefillahs? And it's not holding there. I'm not, how am I going to tshuva? Shivan Hashem, Avinu Shvesa. How? Tshuva, Torah, and all these good things that I want to get to. How am I going to do it? But the answer is the tefillah itself. The tefillah itself is very precious. And the tefillah itself is supposed to be a connection to Hashem. That's really what it comes down to.
We have a big problem. Big problem. Because the Jews wandered in the desert for 40 years. It's a punishment for the golden calf. And so that generation died out. Then we crossed the Jordan River. Well, not all of us. Some of us. The majority crossed the Jordan River. And pretty soon we're left with one tribe left. So that's another big chunk of people. And from that one tribe, we grew and got to go to Babylonia because he won the prize. I don't know where that prize was. But then comes along, then you have this, you have all these terrible things, crusades, the Holocaust, where millions and millions of Jews are killed. And a lot of them, I'm sure, pray very sincerely to Hashem.
Of course.
And there's no answer for any of this stuff that was happening to us at the time. None. And I think that for a lot of people, it's like, I mean, today we can sit in a Breslov yeshiva and say, go to Uman. We're fortunate. We're so lucky to say that. Go to Marom. We're so lucky to say that. We're the remnants of millions and millions of bodies were all that's left. And that's a blessing, that we're here. But the question mark still remains about the people who aren't here. Especially those who believed in Hashem, and prayed to Hashem, and tried to follow the tenets of Judaism to the best of their ability.
Yep. It's a great question. Why do you think it's them and not us? We were there. That was us. Now we're back. That's really what it comes down to. That's the way most people today, we were there. That was us.
Well, that's, we were all at Sinai. We had to be all at Sinai, so it started there.
Mm-hmm.
But we were not all part of the tribe of Judah.
It's true, but again, those who came back the way they were supposed to come back. Why is it the 10 tribes? Where are they? What happened with that? I don't know. Could be.
There was a mix of people.
I mean, obviously, Levi, and there was a mix. But nevertheless, I mean, it seems like what happened to all those other? Where are they? What happened to them? That's the question. I don't really know.
Portugal, I have a friend of mine who has clear lineage to Zerulon.
It's possible. Again, I don't know. It's possible.
Yes.
I don't know. No, there are those, and it is a mix. But nevertheless, that's already a little bit. It's its own question. It's just more of a what happened? Why was that necessary before? And where is that? We daven. So we have different ways of davening. We have different. We see that nevertheless, even though where we come from, are we Yehuda? Are we this? Are we that? There are many different pathways, and in effect, Judaism a lot. Of different pathways. So like you see, it's not so simple to say we're not the same 12 tribes. Maybe we are. Maybe it's even more. It's not so clear. Who are they? How are they? So we did anyway branch out. What difference does it make what tribe you're from? I mean, it has to do with maybe where your nefesh comes from, where it's sourced in. And it has to do also with where you belong in Eretz Yisrael. But those questions are not so, again, people are wherever they are. I mean, they go where they need to go. But it's not so... You know, it's been like you said, it's the oval now. I'm sorry, but this house is my house. It doesn't work that way anymore. You know, not anymore. It used to be. We hope we'll get back there. So it's hard to know what the Gemara says. Someone who's always at the judgment says, "Let's say, let's go to the Torah." Every two words, the Torah. Anything you say, let's go to judgment. Very judging. He says he's from God. That's where his soul's from. Each one has a different source of soul. So where each group went and why, and how come it came from Yehuda, what happened, and how that happened, that's its own question. Not maybe I could say an answer, but actually, it's a good question. But 12, probably at least the 12 pathways we have anyway. And then the question is, why do we have to suffer so much? We suffer tremendously. Why? Unfortunately, very, very sadly, as one of the Shivas pointed out, I mean, Europe was going down. Europe was going down. For all people were saying, they were trying, they were this, they were that, they were going after Haskalah. We're probably living on their merits right now.
Say that over again.
We're probably living on their merits. I mean, it's possible that what happened then was just enough to just... I mean, we seem to have the upper hand now for the last while. The Jewish people, we have the upper hand. When you look at the world now, I don't know about any conspiracy theories, but like somehow, Hashem's taking care of us, and it's not like it used to be. Something changed after the Holocaust. Something integral changed. That's what it seems like. Something changed. We had some schus, which we never had until then. And part of that is, of course, this country. That's all. But we see there are schuyot, which, I mean, you know, famously, there was a Jewish soldier in, what's it called again? West Point, is it called? The famous military near West Point, where they were discussing warfare, and he started to try to bring in the State of Israel. And then, do I hear this from you?
I
heard it also earlier.
West Point, it's either it's one of the military colleges, and the instructor simply said, "We don't even discuss it. We don't discuss any Israeli war.
Yeah, I've heard it before also. He said it doesn't fit into the regular pattern at all. We don't understand them. I'm like, that's the truth. We don't understand it. We could say Tzal was so powerful, but when you're surrounded by millions of people, and you have no ammunition, You have no decent tanks. You have nothing. I'm like, some guy put together a whole bunch of grenades and threw it. It blew up and it ran away. And this happened. And you're like, what's going on over here? What's going on over here? Like, right after these wars, even the generals, the most secular, they were like, it's a miracle. They were, I forgot which part in Tel Aviv, they were just making graves, at least 10,000 dead.
10,000 graves.
At least. They said, that's minimum. None of them were used. Not one. Not one. You know, the casualties were like, what happened? I mean, the Rav Glinsky always brings this. He said, I remember that part. He said, before the Kippur War, I think it was the Kippur War, if I remember right, one of the wars, he said, the minister, who was it? The security minister? I forgot which one. He had a nervous breakdown. And the prime minister said, so there'll be a Chorban Shlishi, God forbid, there'll be a third destruction. There were two destructions, then we're finished. We'll be wiped out.
It was 67.
Yeah, and they were, he said, I remember that, man. I was there. This guy had a nervous breakdown. The other guy, the minister of defense, maybe. And the other guy, then the prime minister was saying, well, if it has to be, there were two temples, well.
The business had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
The business had a nervous breakdown.
He was out of commission.
Yep. It
didn't
make any sense.
I was in Israel then.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Either in 1960s.
Ah. Unbelievable. That's like not. It's like you look, you turn it on, you say, what happened here? It's like something happened. Could be we needed that to get us there. Why, how, when? I mean, it doesn't talk about it. It's in the Mishnah. But it doesn't help to talk about this. We don't have particulars. He said, you need to generate Kiddush Hashem. You don't generate Kiddush Hashem. But sometimes there's a way. The person has to die that way. That generates Kiddush Hashem. What does it need and what does it mean? I have, again, no idea. I'm just saying generalities. So generally, there's such a thing.
But
it's not them, it's us.
In 67, Chabad did such a wonderful thing by putting tefillin on people.
Yes, they did. The Rebbe told them, keep going to Damascus. Take Damascus. Do a symbolic victory that will tell them that next time we'll just kill you all. We'll take over, we'll make a caliph. Make them feel, but they didn't. And he said they came on Simchas Torah to talk to him, and he said, you can call Israel to tell them, because it's Pikuach HaNefesh. They can do it on Shikras. People will die, many people, if they don't take them out. They'll never let us go. We have to take them and finish them. I said, we are victorious, right? You lost, right? It's over, right? Watch it. So otherwise, they'll come after us. That's what he said. Boy, was he right.
Oh, yes.
Boy, was he right. And he had to, it's not a... Not a Pashto thing. So it was us. And for whatever reason, that's what we had to go through. People who I know, who know the Yogulim, if it's in Kubala, if it's wherever they are, I think everyone I know knows when they went then. Which gas chamber they went in, which this, whatever it was, or how they were killed. That was like, it's all of us. It's not them, it's us. The Jewish people, it's us. So why Yehuda? I don't know why Yehuda. I can probably check. It's probably both. And what does that mean? It had to go through. But it's the same. It's the same 12 tribes. The same difference. The same soul. Just in this way. That's what we needed now. But we all have this problem. All of us. It's just like skipping. We're going like, it's like, yeah, I had eight or however many, this many, that many, other thing. I know of eight. And yeah, don't even bother. It's like, it doesn't even matter. Like the biggest ticket, the biggest. That's why the Belzer Rebbe, he wouldn't say Kaddish. He wouldn't say Kaddish. People he knew in Bells, he wouldn't. They don't need Kaddish. They elevated everything. They did everything. They don't need your Mishnayos. They need your Kaddish. He said, I don't even know if you should speak about them. Maybe it'll damage them. Why are you bringing them into the world? They're higher than everything. That's why he looked at it. Again, do we understand? No, we don't understand. I have no idea. What does it mean? What is it? His nephew. His children were all killed. Every one of them. He didn't have more kids. All of them were killed. He had grown children. They were all killed. Children, grandchildren, nobody ever survived. His nephew. His rib. Did it all. And he was... I don't know shit.
Did you hear about the floor that opened up by Kevin Duffy or Shavuos?
The what?
The floor. The hole in the ground.
No.
There's a hole in the ground that opened up. I don't know the story, but there's a hole in the ground that opened up by Kever David HaMelech out in the field, behind the whole complex there. And some people say that there's a Masor that it leads directly to the Kever or whatever. It goes to part of the catacombs underneath. How it was done, did it happen magically? Did some people do it when no one was looking, but there's no dirt there? You know,
They're supposed to be catacombs, please.
Yeah.
That we know about.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
No, where is Kaverdama?
It's on Hard Seal, long time. And so yeah, there's a bunch of Hasidim that came there. There was like army guarding it for a while. There's a bunch of women that ended up surrounding it and started davening fervently there.
No.
Now, is this the same thing with the Vatican wanted to take over or something?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with that.
In my pocket.
I think it's just, for whatever reason, Hashem decided that there was going to be a hole in the ground that leads to those tunnels, and people feel, inspired by it and want to pour their hearts out.
No, did this just happen?
There's an old discussion. There were people who were doing work there. Yeah. They used to do steps, and they went down. They weren't allowed to go. They went the whole story. What happened?
So this is very recent.
No. This, I heard just now, like you. I don't know anything about it.
I thought you wrote the mortgage.
But, no, I was going to go on Swiss, but I didn't make it. I did not make it.
It was very high. It was quality.
I'm sure it was good. I wasn't, But I make it. I wanted to read this piece, look at the luchas, about this whole Indian. I guess it'll be tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, about that. Really, you don't do anything. He says, the kids here is like a candle. He says, you get lit. And you didn't do it. It lights and lights and lights, but it's not you. You need that fire that you don't provide. Hashem does it all. You just do the little words.
No, in lighting the candle, the analogy of that. Is that like the same halacha as dealing with lighting the Hanukkah?
It's the same basic idea, yeah, in its own way. But we'll talk about lighting candle tomorrow. We'll do it in that context. I don't really know, not necessarily. But the point is that he's very clear. He says Hashem does everything. Like you have a candle, right? You need to light the candle, but without the fire, you have nothing. You can't. The fire is Hashem. You just do. He says that's the word that you speak. But you have to know that it's Hashem and it's not you. And you speak, help. That's what he says, the two. Hashem says, return to me by speaking, and then I will draw you near. We draw us near by saying, draw us near to you, and we'll return. That is how we draw near to Hashem.
Yeah.
Hashem says, right? Shuv Eleva, Shuv Aleichem, come close to me, and I'll return to you by speaking. That's what he says. So that's the kids here.